Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well and the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our study. We're in Philippians, the book of Philippians, and we're in chapter 3. And we started seeing in the beginning of the chapter where Paul is writing to the church and telling them to beware of dogs, you know, to beware of those that work out the mutilation, those Jews that had turned to Christianity, that were trying to turn the Gentiles into Jews by circumcising them and having confidence in the flesh. And he was trying to tell them that we are not of those that put confidence in the flesh, because if it is about circumcision, we are the circumcision of the Spirit. And the circumcision of the Spirit is a cutting out of sinful nature. Sinful nature was circumcised out, and that you can read in Colossians chapter 2, speaks about that circumcision. But then he says that we are those who worship God in the Spirit, and he tells them that rejoice in Christ Jesus, because we have no confidence in the flesh. Confidence in the flesh is where we base our own righteousness, our own holiness to God, based on our human effort. Our human effort will never be enough to bring us before God. In fact, if any time we bring our own efforts to God, they are nothing but filthy rags before him. Because the righteousness that is by the law is the righteousness that says what I can do, what I have done, what is in my power, how much I have fasted, how much I have prayed, you see how much I have given. That is the righteousness that is by the law. Yet by the law, no one can be justified. No one can be found blameless, because the law has no capacity to cover sin, has no capacity to forgive sin. It only covers it. But it is only the righteousness of God that is revealed, that is by faith, that allows us access to the Father, that allows us the righteousness that God has purposed that each one of us to receive. Because this righteousness does not come from our effort, from our performance, but this righteousness comes from receiving what Christ has done, what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That holiness before God, that acceptance before God, that forgiveness of sins that does not come from us but comes from him, the perfect sacrifice. That is the righteousness by which we stand. And that is the only righteousness by which we will be judged as children of God. We will be judged either to have accepted Christ or have rejected him, either to go heaven or to go to hell, based on the simple acceptance of what Christ has done for us. And he's able to compare. If it's about confidence in the flesh, he has even more reasons. He is a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. You know, when it comes to keeping of the law, he was found blameless. In terms of zeal, he persecuted the church. He was a Pharisee. So there was nothing that any of those who are claiming to be Jewish Christians that they can have against him. But he is one that if it was to compete according to the flesh, he had every reason. But he says, I counted all those things but loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my God. There is a knowledge of God that makes you count all things but loss. I tell you, when you come and meet this God, when you encounter this righteousness that is not based on you, this righteousness that God has worked out in Christ Jesus, that your job is to receive, when you awake to righteousness, then you see that he was made sin that you might become the righteousness of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come, and all things are of God. That means God makes you new. He brings you to fullness. He brings you to restoration. He makes you a creature that is made of God, that is of the substance of God, that is of the citizenship of heaven. And that is where you can count all things that are on the earth as loss. Why? Because you have received a greater excellency that comes from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, verse 9, Philippians 3, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And he says, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed, that is, being changed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Then he says, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You see, one of the things about Christianity is you must understand there are things that Christ has done. Or rather, there are things that God has revealed that are already yours. You have a dream and God shows you something that is special, that something that is going to happen. Now, when that happens, you have a responsibility to do something, or basically to press on. How do you press on? One is that you believe what God has shown you. Then number two is you speak it, you proclaim it. The power, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That means life and death have no power, but the power is in the tongue. So now, as you proclaim it, remember our God is a speaking God. He is a speaking spirit, and he created things by speaking. So it is the rhema that you speak when the movement of the Spirit has come that becomes yours. When you start to confess that which God has said to you, that becomes your confession. Remember, that word of faith is near you. It is in your mouth. The word that you speak, the word of faith that you speak, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, then you shall be saved. So there is a speaking that brings you access into the things of God. Then as you continue to speak it, then you look like a madman because you will be speaking things that don't look it. Why? Because our God is a God that calls things that are not as if they were. You speak houses, you speak lands, you speak resources, you speak souls, you speak stadiums, full men, women serving God. You speak impact, generational impact. You speak transnational impact. Across nations, across countries, across continents. Why? Because you are proclaiming that which God has shown you. This is not the place of proclaiming wishful thinking. It is the place of proclaiming that which you have seen, that which God has shown you, that which God has revealed to you. And as you proclaim it, then you start to see. You see. You proclaim. After you proclaim, then you press on. You continue, even when it looks like it doesn't. And then you take hold. There are moments that you need to lambano. That means you need to take by possession. You need to take by force. You see, anytime you are with God, God will always prepare you for your Kairos moments. Kairos moments come in moments that no one expects, but it comes to those that are ready. Those that have a quickness of their feet, ready to receive from God, ready to act, ready to obey. Think of Elisha. Elisha was taking care of his father's farm, herding with, plowing with 12 oxen. And God sends Elijah to go and anoint Elisha in his place. And Elijah goes and just throws his mantle over Elisha and leaves him. And then Elisha understands that this is an opportunity for him. He has been called to be a servant of Elijah. And he tells him, "My Lord, give me a moment. Let me say goodbye to my father and my mother. Then I will follow you." Then Elijah said, "What have I done to you?" And he tells him, "Go." So he quickly goes, says goodbye, slaughters the oxen, using the wood, prepares a meal for everyone. And then they say goodbye. Then he follows Elijah. There's a certain quickness of feet or quickness to obey that God knew that is in the heart of Elisha. That is why God sent Elijah to Elisha. If you're quick to obey, God will always use you. God will always use you. Why? Because you are those that are available. Think of the widow in Zarephath. Why didn't God send Elijah to any widow in Israel? He sent him to the widow in Zarephath because she was willing to obey. And she tells Elijah, Elijah tells him, "Go and make me a bread. fetch me some water and make me a bread while you're at it." And she says, "As surely as the Lord lives, I only have a little flour and a little oil, and I'm going to make one bread or a piece of bread for me and my son, and for that we shall eat it and die." Then Elijah says, "As surely as the Lord lives, that jar of flour, that flask of oil will never run dry until the Lord sends back rain on the earth." You see, it was her willingness to obey that guaranteed her increase, guaranteed her fulfillment in that time. Move forward to even Mary. There were many Marys in the time of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, Mary betrothed to Joseph, Mary of Chuza. All these were Marys, but you see, God knew there was a Mary that was ready to say yes. And when the angel comes, the Mary says, "Lord, let it be done to me according to your will." She asked, "How can it be?" And he was told, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. It shall overshadow you. And the one to be born shall be found in you. It shall be called the Most High God, the Son of the Most High God." And then she says, "Let it be done to me according to your will." You see, God knows the hearts of men, those that are quick to say yes. When it comes to finances, God knows those that are his banks, those that are his stewards, those that he can place the wealth, kingdom wealth in his hands, that when he needs it for action, when he needs it to raise the gospel, to raise people that he can use for the gospel, when he needs it to win souls, he knows he can ask of it and it can be found. When he needs someone to go to this country, he knows those that will say yes. Those are the ones that God chooses. Those are the ones that God uses. Those that are ready to obey. Now that is the pressing on to take hold of that which God has already apprehended for you. That willingness to obey, that willingness to say yes, that willingness to step into the Kairos moments that God has opened, that God has accomplished. Because many see, but not many enter. Why? Because they do not mix their faith, their word with faith. Many receive the word, "Oh, you're going to increase, you're going to get into marriage this year, oh, you're going to have a child." But you see, unless you mix that word with faith, you will never have access to that which God has promised. That mixing with faith, of the word with faith, is where you lambano, where you meditate on that word, where you believe it, where you act, where you are ready in the Kairos moments, where you're watching and you're ready to step into that place of destiny that God has prepared for you. And that's why Paul says that I press on. I press on towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There are things that God has prepared for us in Christ Jesus that we must press on. The highest calling is to know Him, is to be known by Him, is to understand Him, is to see Him for who He is to have intimacy with Him. It's not the accolades that people shout for us or clap for us or give us applause. No. The greatest calling is to know Jesus, is to know Him and to be known by Him. And that's why he says that there's many are as of the mature, let them continue in this mind. Remember, there's a mind of humility. Then now here, there's a mind of maturity. Continue with this mind. Be like-minded. And also know if you think otherwise in any other thing, God will also make it clear. That means there are times that God does not call us to contention. If you think differently, it's okay. You know, I was speaking with a brother and he was speaking of, I was asked to do this. Is it right? I don't agree with it. I think it should be different. I told him, well, this is not a salvation issue. It's a faith issue. Someone might see it differently. You might see it differently. But one thing that is clear, God is able to make it clear for you. There's a place that God will bring you to clarity, to revelation. And when He brings it to you and you obey, therein lies your healing. Therein lies your answer. He says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, by the same mind. And verse 17 says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. You see, there is always need for examples, and that is what God does. There are people that God has placed in our lives, not for ourselves, but as examples. And there are people who God wants you to be examples to others. Your perseverance, your waiting upon God, how you overcome the challenges of this journey. As you stand with God, as you stand even when these answers look like they have delayed, when that manifestation on the earth seems to have delayed, but God has already revealed it to you, how you stay in that place of prayer is a place where your faith continues to be built. God always works out a far greater work in our lives even while we wait for the manifestations of the things that He has patterned for us. And that's why I say that follow those who walk with our example. Follow those who are after our pattern. Because many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. There are many who claim to be servants of God, but they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And here he was referring to these Jews who, in this time, they wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised. He's telling them, these are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are many whose God is their belly. They are after profit. They are after gain. It is about what to eat, not about you. But you see, when you understand there is a pattern for life, there is a pattern for faith, there is a pattern that God has placed, walk in that pattern. Because these are the men who know that our citizenship is not of the earth. We are kingdom citizens. In fact, the Bible says the man from above, the last man, Adam, was of earth. Was of the earth. But the last Adam, the first Adam was earthy. But the last Adam, or the second Adam, was the man from above, the man from heaven, the heavenly man. That means those that are of the earth are earthy, but those that are of heaven are heavenly. Those that are of Christ are heavenly. You must know that God has given you a nature that is not of the first man, Adam, but of the last man, the last Adam, the second Adam, who is Christ, because God was bringing restoration when he said, let us make man in our image and likeness. The main idea that he had was Christ. Because the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. That means Christ is the fulfillment of that making man in our image and likeness. Because God is a life-giving spirit. And he says the last man, Adam, the last Adam was a life-giving spirit, Christ. And that is why he gives life to everyone who comes to him. He says, come unto me, all you who labor, who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The words that I speak, they are spirit and life. The man from above is the one that gives us the life of God, Zoe. He is a life-giving spirit, and he makes us to life-giving spirits. That is why everywhere you go, you bring life. Creation has been groaning in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. When the kingdom citizens understand that their ambassadors form another kingdom to this earth, and they know that they are the solution. You are the solution. You that have believed, the answer lies with you. It lies in you not giving up. It lies in you putting your hope in Christ. It lies in you depending on God, depending on the Lord, waiting upon him, looking unto him, the author, the finisher of our faith. May you bring life to your office. May you bring life to your family. May you bring life to your clan. May you bring life to your nations. May you bring life to the world. Because you are not of this earth. You are a kingdom citizen. And you are sent on this earth. And that is why we must continue having this hope. This outward body is wasting away. But we know inwardly we are being renewed in the inner man. This outer man is fading away. He's being crushed. He's being persecuted on every side. But we know that every trial, every persecution is working out for us a far more eternal glory in Christ Jesus. My brothers, my sisters, let us stand firm. Let us remember who we are and what Christ has apprehended for her, for us. And we shall walk in victory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your power. That indeed you have reminded us that you have called us. You've called us to walk according to a pattern of Christ, pattern of humility, a pattern of obedience to you, knowing that we are the circumcision of the Spirit, counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And indeed, as citizens of heaven, we continue to look forward to that day of your return when we shall be clothed with the man from above. We shall be clothed with that new glorious body. We shall be conformed and transformed to be like you, because you have made us in your image and likeness. Thank you for your children. Thank you for revelation to know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your spirit. It's not of human righteousness or human effort, but it is by the righteousness that is of faith, the righteousness of God that is revealed. I thank you. I thank you for that cleansing, for the one that is putting their hope and trust in you. Receive them. Walk with them. encourage them, strengthen them, provide for them, open doors that no man can shut, oh God. Indeed, you are faithful, you are holy, and there is no one else like you, God. Thank you that you have never delayed. You're always on time. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.